Let's open our Bibles and turn to Psalm 122. Psalm 122 has this title above it, A Song of Ascents of David. And it's now the third Song of Ascents. It had begun in Psalm 120. Psalm of going up. Hear God's word. I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. That's how far we're reading from God's word. I'd like to read Psalm 122 one more time. This is in preparation for the sermon. A minister has an advantage of having looked over and read over this psalm many times before preaching it. But let's read it at least once more together as a congregation. I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And following the sermon, we'll sing number 264, which is Psalm 122, put to music. Congregation loved by Jesus Christ our Lord, how glad are you to be here this morning? What did it take for you to get out of bed and come to church? Maybe you have to admit that someone had to drag you here. Maybe you're here because of family pressure. Or it could be because of loneliness and this is where your friends are. Maybe you're here because Sunday just wouldn't be Sunday without this ritual of coming to church. Maybe you drop by just to check it out. And it doesn't matter, you're here. And this Sunday morning, God's word is open to Psalm 122. There we read about rejoicing in the house of the Lord. There we sing about our hearts exalting and being glad when people around us say, let's go to the house of the Lord. You see, this is the Lord at work. The Lord's at work. He's getting our reluctant hearts to stop dragging our heels. The Lord's at work to make us look forward to this one thing, that we would be in His presence, that we would be in His house. So the Lord's at work when we rejoice. The Lord's at work so that we would praise Him. The Lord's at work so that we would pray for Him, pray for His house that He is gathering, that He is assembling. So here's Psalm 122 in short, as we have it in the bulletin, the Lord urges us to make His house our delight. And we'll look at 3 points. Our delight is expressed in joy, in praise, and in prayer. First of all, let's look at the joy that our delight shows expression in. Remember the heading. It's a psalm of ascents. Now, this is a psalm especially used by the Israelites when they made their way to Jerusalem for those major feasts of the year. If you remember, just in the past couple of weeks, we have had Pentecost the other day. That would have been a major feast. And before that, it was the Passover feast, 7 weeks before that. Also, that time, the Israelites would have been going up to Jerusalem. Now, we have these songs of ascents, and there's a certain order to them, having been deliberately placed in this book of Psalms. If we had gone over Psalm 120, you would have noticed it was quite different. It was about living in Meshech, or among the tents of Kedar. That's a way of saying in Timbuktu. It's kind of depressing, living far away from God and His people, among liars and deceivers, among those who hated peace. Then Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's beginning the long journey toward the hills and toward the hill, Mount Zion and Jerusalem. It's a song of protection, Psalm 121 was. And now here we're at Psalm 122. It's as though this song erupts after you've made the long journey. And now it's as though you've just crested the last corner, cresting the corner of the Mount of Olives, and you see right there in front of you the city of Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. We're on the threshold. Just a few more steps and we're there. And what's the mood? You ask your fellow pilgrims. Joy sums it up. And it actually has been a joy ever since they've set out. Verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Already on the point when they left home, there was joy, and it only increased along the way. For the whole journey, the Israelite had been looking forward to the moment when they would round that bend and see Jerusalem. But why are they so joyful? And why does this song want us to catch the same contagious joy? Because Jerusalem was the house of God back then. Their joy was not that Jerusalem was the geographic or political center of Israel. It's not the most powerful city, not the most important city. The unbounded joy comes from the fact that Jerusalem is the house of the Lord. That's the expression used twice in the psalm. It's emphasized in the opening words and in the closing words. First verse and the last verse, and it's a way of saying that's what all the volumes, every verse is about. Everything in between makes sense because of that joy of being in the house of the Lord. So think about it for a moment. This is a house of the Lord. Jerusalem used to be the house of the Lord, and it was no longer a tent or a tabernacle. A dwelling place with roots, foundations, a solid hill it's built on. The joy that the Lord wants surging within us is this immense glory that God Himself makes His home on earth to be close to His people. He makes His home close to His people. That's why house is used. And so there's the picture for the Israelite that the temple is in Jerusalem, that God has a house not just for Himself in heaven, with walls that keep everybody, anything unholy out. No, God has a house with doors on earth. There's openings in the walls. God's house was designed that God would meet with his people. In fact, some people could live in the temple of God. There were rooms there. And priests, for while they served in the temple, they would live in the temple. The house of God was designed for pilgrims to come from a long ways off so that they could be there in the presence of the Lord. That's the awesome glory we're looking at. That God would come near imperfect and sin-filled people. Doesn't that describe us? That's why the psalm begins with such joy. The joy is that God has come near his people and we are urged to come near to him. Now, if you can imagine the joy that the Israelite would have had, the joy that they could go to where God was, then you should know at least the basic level of joy that we should have. We should be at least this joyful because we know Jesus Christ. Remember one of his names, Emmanuel. The name for Jesus Christ. Emmanuel means God with us. Only in Jesus Christ can his weak and sinful people, imperfect people, come near the most holy and righteous and glorious God. So, obviously, Psalm 122 is going to need to be sung with Jesus Christ in mind. We can't sing, "Let's go to the house of the Lord," without thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of God's new house. We can't sing this without thinking of Christ and his church, which is called the household of the living God. In 1 Timothy 3, the household of the living God. We can't sing this without the joy that we are like living stones being built into the spiritual house of God. That's 1 Peter 2. So all the joy that the Israelites had, looking forward to those great feasts, looking forward to being in God's house, is the bare minimum. That's the starting kind of joy you should have this week. We look forward to being where Christ is, bringing his people near to God. You see the point. The psalm is urging us to be joyful in God's house. That even though each of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit, even though each of us is a temple in an individual way, we see the great temple as we come to church. Not made of wood or bricks, but made of Christ and the children of Christ. That's the house of God. So Psalm 122 starts with that joy. Let's be glad when they say to us, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Now let's move to our second point. We'll look at the verses 3 to 5 now. Our delight in the house of the Lord shows up as praise. Jerusalem is built like a city that is compact together. Here we're getting some description. The praise for that city back then. Unlike the little towns that you would have come from, the villages out anywhere else in Israel, Jerusalem actually has some structure to it. As the Old Testament pilgrim made his way, turning the last corner, he sees this city. And it has walls. It has houses densely populated. And especially during these feast days, it's packed. So you have these words, compacted together. It's used to describe, elsewhere in the scriptures, it's used to describe something of construction. Compacted together, you'll read in Exodus. to describe how the tabernacle was to be built. It's the word for those tongue and groove joints, the dovetail joints, where things closely intersect. There's no wasted space, no gaps. So upon seeing Jerusalem, the Old Testament person praised the Lord for the way the city was built. Houses slotted to fit next to each other, foundation stones custom cut to fit each other precisely. The Old Testament praised the Lord, seeing Jerusalem with its structure and its unity. But even more amazing than the stones, the walls, the building, and the streets were the people that he saw. Verse 4 is catching this motion of people converging together. Where the tribes go up, it says, verse 4, the tribes of the Lord to the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. In other words, there the tribes of the Lord go up according to the commands. That's a way of understanding this verse. According to the testimony given to Israel to praise the Lord. So the Old Testament person sees himself as one of many people converging upon that city, one of many tribes. And he praises and he worships the Lord for bringing all these tribes together in unity. See, at first he had started by talking about the design of Israel, how Jerusalem was designed closely compacted. And now he's describing the people there. There's a unity they have. Quite surprising that he would describe their unity. Because any quick reading of the Old Testament reminds us that Israel was often, actually most of the time, they were fractured, they were schismatic, they could hardly agree on where to worship. Only after the judges and after King Saul, and only for a short time under King David and Solomon, was Israel more or less united. Then it quickly fell apart again in the time of Jeroboam. Most Israelites didn't even want to come to Jerusalem. They would rather serve the golden calves that were in Dan and Bethel. So what we read here and sing about in Psalm 122 is really an awesome work of God. With nothing else to bring the 12 tribes together, there's no real political bond or economic unity in Jerusalem. The real unity was now clear. It's in worship and delighting in the house of the Lord. That's what united them. And obedience. You remember those words in verse 4? To the testimony. Obedience to the command. That's real unity in obedience, this coming together. Verse 4 says, there the tribes go up according to the testimony given to Israel, the commandment to give thanks to the name of the Lord. So all these people streaming to this one place, even though humanly speaking it had nothing to offer, this was an awesome work of God. The psalm writer says, look at these tribes coming together. They're singing God's praises together. They're obeying God's command to worship together. Look at them coming together in submission. That's captured in verse 5. Submission. For thrones are set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. These thrones where judges sit and proclaim verdicts. You think of King David or King Solomon. They sit on thrones. They were not a place of terror for most of God's people. The fact is these thrones stand for justice, fairness, and wisdom. So they are a joy. And because of these thrones and the judgments, disputes can be settled. Appeals can be heard. So the Old Testament person delighted in the house of the Lord for each of these reasons. It's a place of unity in design. Remember how it's closely compacted together. It was a place of unity in worship as all these tribes are streaming together. And it's a place of unity they all wanted to and needed to hear that justice and the wisdom. Now, we should have the same delight in the New Testament house of the Lord, remembering that the New Testament house of the Lord is the house that Jesus Christ is gathering. And think of the unity in design and in worship and in obedience, all those areas. In design, how closely compacted the church is. Almost you can describe them as with dovetail joints. In the house of our Lord Jesus Christ, He's uniting us to align us to Himself, the chief cornerstone. He's chiseling away at us, removing our sin and iniquity so that we fit His house. He's working in us to produce what is beautiful so that we fit His house. Ephesians 2 says, "We are God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone." So we come together in this design of His. Those who are close to Christ, aligned to Christ, are closely fit together. That's His design. Also, regarding unity, our delight should be in this New Testament house of the Lord, the unity we find here. When we stream together with unity and worship, do you sometimes appreciate this? Do you take note of this? You ever stand at the gates of the doors? You know, nowadays we have doors of the church. It helps to come early. Let's say you stand by the coat racks before church and you watch these tribes of the Lord go up. Not the old 12 tribes of Israel anymore, but Gentiles coming up according to the testimony given to Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Psalm 122 should come to mind when you watch this happen. Your heart will rejoice in what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. He's bringing people together, people who are so different, who can hardly agree on most things. And He unites them on one thing, that we praise Him according to the statute He gave us, according to the testimony. The Lord is most worthy of praise. He pushes aside so many differences in the hearts of His children and unites us around Himself. So in this New Testament house of the Lord, besides the design and the unity, our delight in the house of the Lord is also in His justice. Remember those thrones of the house of David? Well, the Lord unites us around the judgments of His Word. Even though it's intimidating in some ways, in many ways it's intimidating, we come here before His judgment throne. Maybe you could go a whole week without hearing His Word. And for some reason you're brought here and you hear God's Word and you stand before His judgment throne and you realize who you are in His sight. Well, we come here before the judgment throne of David's Son, Jesus Christ, and we hear His words. We hear His verdict about our lives. We hear His judgment. We hear Him say, "Guilty." And we hear Him say, "Acquitted, pardoned, forgiven in Jesus Christ." You hear God say, "Because this one trusts in Jesus Christ, his penalty is paid for." And you hear more. You hear Him say, "Go and sin no more," as Jesus Christ said. That's how the Lord is gathering us around His thrones for judgment, to hear His Word. Aren't you in awe of His work here? the Lord at work, uniting us in worship and in His Word. Others are united around money, economic wealth, united around power, political leverage. But we are united in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we delight to be in His house. We delight to be a part of the house of the Lord that He is building. So let's praise the Lord for His house. Let's delight in His house. When we see others with different personalities, different weaknesses, sins, we get this reminder, I'm not so wonderful in myself. The Lord didn't choose me. He didn't bring me here to make me part of His house because I'm so deserving. He's making me look around at others in His house, at all of those streaming into His house, so that we would see that I'm not the only one here. I'm not the most important one here. I'm only one small part in His great work. You see, as He gathers us together, the Lord's making us praise Him for His work, that He's made us a part of it. Let's move now to the third point, the delight expressed in prayer. We're now looking at verses 6 through 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and companions, I will say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now this is the highest expression of delight. Praying for the house of the Lord our God is the ultimate expression of love for the Lord's house. I'll explain that more in a moment. You see, the fact is, we have this prayer, and it shows up in Psalm 122. It could have gone very differently. It could have had a sad or a very sober ending. This psalm, which begins with the overflowing joy and praise for the house of the Lord, up till now has been on a high note and is admitting that the house of the Lord is actually imperfect. Things aren't all right here. That's why this prayer in the psalm. The house of the Lord is unfinished. The house of the Lord in some ways is weak and divided. Now, if this psalm had been made by any one of us, it very likely would have ended on a gloomy note. It would have finished with something about this house of the Lord needs so much work. In complaining, we would say it so badly needs peace and security, it looks like it could fall apart at any minute. So, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ finishes this psalm through His servant. And He finishes it with passion for His house. He steps it up a note higher than before. You know, the joy and the praise. And He finishes this psalm with a prayer that He wants on our lips. Pray for the peace of this house. Pray for the security of this house, this people of God. This is a delight that goes above and beyond joy and praise. Sometimes we have this feeling that a joy and a praise is instinctive. You know, either you have it or you don't. It's like a reflex action. But here we're called to something higher yet. Greater praise. Ultimate expression of delight in the house of the Lord. Because this delight's actually putting effort into worship. This is a delight that converts complaints into faithful, fervent prayer. That's love for this house. And look at what we're to pray for. What's so often lacking is peace and security. These two words come up again and again. Peace is one of them. That means no war or fighting. And in terms of the house of the Lord, it's protection from Satan and the world and complacency and heresies and persecution. Protection from all of that. And that's just the beginning. Peace. You might remember the Hebrew word is shalom. The Old Testament people would greet each other with that word on the street. It means, may it go well with you. And may it go well with you in everything. Not just spiritual things, but may you be healthy and happy and do well at work. Peace. And there's the other word, shalvah. That's Hebrew, shalva. It means security and prosperity. Notice our translation has used the word prosperity most often. May they prosper who love you, verse 6 says. And it's the same in verse 9. I will seek your shalva, but it has it as good. If a city were to have this kind of good, prosperity, security, it would be able to take a break. And you know, when you have a break, the guards, the lookouts on the towers, they could come down from the walls, and each man could put away his weapons and his armor to live under his own vine and fig tree. You imagine them reach behind them, underneath that vine, and grab a grape and eat it. That's the picture of shalvah, a prosperity and a security that's combined into one. And it's built on peace, that everything's going well around you. Psalm 122 is calling us to delight in the house of the Lord enough to pray for this. To pray for this peace and prosperity, that it goes well with her among us. That we can be at ease and relax in the Lord's strength. To pray for peace and security, we need to know what true peace and prosperity is. Do we know what that is? Maybe you remember the time that our Lord Jesus Christ was coming near to Jerusalem. These were His last days. Remember the time? His feet were standing in her gates. He had just rounded the Mount of Olives and He sees the city. And do you think He sang this psalm? How glad I was when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. No. Our Lord didn't sing this song that time. He wept when He saw her. In Luke 19, verse 42, He says, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, shalom. But now it's hidden from your eyes. You don't see it, do you? How could they know what made for peace if they didn't know what was the true cause of unrest? If the Roman military was the problem, then what made for peace was a new political leader. And if the financial inequality was a problem, then what they needed was a new structure of Jewish leadership. What made for peace? We need to know then that the true threat to any peace is not something outside of us. The true threat, instability, warfare, quarrels, is in our own hearts. James 4, each one of us has enough selfish desires to cause wars and quarrels, to kill and to covet. brothers and sisters, in the New Testament house of the Lord, we are so easily divided, so easily fighting about what we think would be best for God's people, for God's house. Each one of us has our favorite item. What would bring peace to the church? What would make her prosper? We easily disagree on that.
That's why our Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's understood it. He knows the true source of unrest and insecurity, the true threat to the church is in himself. And when he tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, he makes a personal commitment. He starts with himself. That's verse 8. For the sake of my brethren and companions, for everyone else, I will say, peace be within you. Verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your Shalva, your security, your prosperity. The one singing the song, he understood the ultimate love and delight for the house of the Lord was a commitment in his own heart. I'm going to pray for you. That's the ultimate. So, brothers and sisters, all of those flaws, all those weaknesses that remain, the unfinished work in this house of the Lord, they could lead you to be down about the church. Are you down about the church? You have a coffee social, a little chit-chat, you're hospitable, you have people over. Do people get a sense from your conversation that you despair about the church of Jesus Christ? Maybe you say, what was Jesus Christ thinking when he bought this bride for himself? What does Jesus Christ see in her? Everyone seems to be a hypocrite. Or we have another option here. Rejoice as the psalm does. We delight in the house of the Lord. In everything that we see has potential in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We already sense this house is a part of the new Jerusalem. This is the one that's coming down from heaven, dressed as a bride for the bridegroom. We're going to pray that this church will arrive soon. We're going to pray for her everlasting peace. We're going to pray for her everlasting security. And by faith, we remember where it starts. Jesus Christ gets us to pray. Peace be with you. It's our Lord Jesus Christ at work. I'm going to pray for my brother, my sister, my friend, my companion. This is my prayer. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Amen.